Happy Wednesday, Cyclone Nation. This is Chris Williams here on the Iowa Clinic Men's Center sponsored podcast. Changing things up just a little bit this week, doing something new at CycloneFanatic.com. I am at the Big 12 Basketball Media Days in Kansas City. The Sprint Center looks great. The last time I was here, while Iowa State was winning the Big 12 championship. And that's exactly what they intend to do this year as well. Lots of good stuff coming for you today on the Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast. I had an opportunity today to sit down with Iowa State's all-Big 12 player George Niang. Also talked with Dustin Hoke. Those were Iowa State's two representatives here today. Of course, Fred Hoiberg was here. We'll have plenty of coverage from what Coach Hoiberg had to say all day and, you know, the rest of the week, too, at CycloneFanatic.com. A few notes before we get to those interviews. I did think it was interesting, and you'll hear this, but during an interview with Fred Hoiberg, other members of the media, Iowa State's local media, were involved in that as well, so you'll be hearing their voices, just a heads up. Hoiberg did mention, when I asked about Matt Thomas and where he's at this year, Matt Thomas actually led the Cyclones in scoring in a scrimmage on Tuesday. I thought that was noteworthy. It's good, because Iowa State needs Thomas to come on. He had a pretty good freshman season, although I don't believe he played up to his potential. So Matt Thomas, again, led Iowa State 18 points in a scrimmage on Tuesday. That was really the only note from that aspect, but we did get a chance to pick Hoiberg's brain about rotations and whatnot. So you'll hear a lot from that. Elsewhere today, I mean, these Big 12 media days are interesting in the sense that I really enjoy the basketball one. I think it's great. It's knocked out in like 4 hours. The coaches all, for those of you who've never, clearly never been to one of these, there's a room where every coach in the league is sitting in that room, and you can go up and talk to anybody you want. And it's a really, really cool event. So I'm glad that we're down here covering it for you today. IAMenCenter.com, Iowa Clinic Men's Center, that's the reason we're down here. We could not do it without our site's sponsors, and the Iowa Clinic has been just an integral part of the growth of our website over the last 3 years or so. Wouldn't have Rob Gray without the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. We wouldn't be able to do a lot of the things we do without the Iowa Clinic. So please, you know, Tommy Birch and I, usually he's my co-host on the Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast. He's not here, obviously, today, but we joke about going to the doctor. It's no joke. Be a man. Go to the doctor. IAMenCenter.com. All those clinics around the metro. And I want to let you know, too, they now have urgent care at the Iowa Clinic. That's a new spot in Ankeny. They also have it in West Des Moines. Do not waste your time, people, with waiting rooms and all that jazz. The Iowa Clinic Men's Center, the Iowa Clinic's urgent care, that's the way to go. I refuse, no matter how much somebody pays me, I refuse to endorse any product if I do not believe in it, and I absolutely believe in the care that they provide. It's completely changed the way I view going to the doctor, and I promise you will too. IAMenCenter.com. All right, enough from me. You want to hear from Iowa State head coach Fred Hoiberg, George Niang, and of course Dustin Hoge. So let's start off with a Q&A session with the local media and Iowa State head coach Fred Hoiberg.
Your media day, where you'd find media motivation, it looked like maybe your fellow coaches gave your guys some, picking a fifth?
Well, I don't know if you can argue with it, with what we lost, you know, with losing your two All-Americans, your player of the year, and then, you know, DeAndre, who did things not many other players in the country did. You know, so you obviously can see where it came from. You know, our guys, if you ask them, there is a little motivation. But, again, like I've said all along, this isn't a group that needs motivation. They're going to go out and play, whether they're picked first, whether they're picked last. It's just an innate quality in them that they're going to go out and compete every single time they take the floor, whether that's two of them in the gym in a shooting contest or, you know, if you're lining up to play on a big Monday.
Fred, Dustin Hoge is a guy who I think he led you guys in rebounding a year ago. He had the big game, obviously, at Madison Square Garden, but it doesn't seem like anybody ever talks about him. Do you feel like he's undervalued nationally?
Yeah, you know, and similar to Melvin, you know, I think Melvin was that same guy that not many people talked about. And, you know, he was a guy that led the league in rebounding the year before and obviously came out and had an unbelievable senior season to be the player of the year in the league. You know, Dustin just does so many things, and he does them without having to run plays for him. You know, I will run more stuff for Dustin this year just because when he's playing the four spot, he's quicker than most guys guard. And when he's playing the three, he's bigger than most guys guard. You know, the biggest thing we've worked on so far is just our flow offense, flowing into an offense where we're not calling plays and trying to get guys to recognize the mismatch on the floor. And, you know, Dustin a lot of times is that guy where guys will find him on the post. They'll find him and empty out a side where we create spacing for him to get to the basket. You know, so he's, again, he's a guy you don't have to run things for. He's still going to accomplish a lot. But at the same time, once we get into our quick hitters, you know, we'll have a nice little package for Dustin.
What has he done, I guess, since the day he stepped on campus to improve his offensive game? I mean, how far has he come from that standpoint?
Well, I think the biggest thing is he's improved as a shot. You know, he took, I think, 7 threes in his sophomore year at Indian Hills. You know, that's something that we worked a lot on. And, you know, he became a very reliable three-point shooter for us. And, you know, he's come in with great rhythm on his jump shot. I'll tell you this, he's in a lot better shape at this point than he was when he came in that first year. I don't think he really knew what quite to expect, you know, that first offseason. And he didn't come in quite as prepared as he has this year. So I give him a lot of credit. He's very motivated right now, and hopefully goes out and has a great year.
Speaking of in shape, was George, was it the motivation there? Did you have a talk with him? You know, did he just do it on his own? Or,
you know, Randy, I didn't have to have a talk with George. You know, he did all that on his own. And, you know, when he went home, you know, I'd get messages from him telling me about how committed he was to getting his body right, where he could come back and, you know, have hopefully a little less impact on the foot with having lower weight. You know, but just the way he tightened up, you know, a lot of guys lose weight and, you know, they're still flabby, you know, but he tightened it up and, you know, his body looks great. And in turn, he can play longer stretches. He moves better. You know, again, he's playing on the perimeter a lot. And, you know, again, I have the ability to play bigger lineups this year. And again, you can play George on the perimeter a little bit with two of the bigger guys out there. And you know, again, play to the mismatch. With George has a smaller guy on him, you know, I can pretty much promise you we're going to throw it to him on the post.
How cognizant were you the first 2 years of playing him for extended stretches? I mean, was there a timer in your head saying we need to get him out to give him a blow because he couldn't go for, you know, whatever the...
Well, the thing with George is, you know, the one common theme with George is when he got tired, it was... a stupid foul was coming. You know, so I tried to get a guy at the scorer's table a lot of times when I saw him dragging. And unfortunately, a lot of times that timeout or whistle came with him on a foul. You know, he's just, you know, he's so unique, and I have to have him on the floor. I mean, I think we proved that last year with his ability to close out games for us. But I tried as the year went on, you know, in the conference tournament, for example, I would always try to get him out right around the first media timeout with a dozy, you know, giving us great minutes in that Big 12 tournament. And this year, yeah, I'm going to be very cognizant of that. And, you know, we'll have more depth, and I think we'll be able to give him longer rest periods.
How much are you playing him at the three for the first 10 days?
You know, again, we're so right now you know, I don't know if you call it a numberless system, you know, but the makeup of this team, we've got so many guys that can play different spots on the floor. I'm trying to get him to be able to play, whether he's on the right, in the right corner, whether he's trailing in the left slot, you know, whether he's got the ball in his hands. He can just, again, use them all over the floor. So I don't know if I'd actually put a number on what he's doing, but he's playing a lot as a perimeter guy.
You mentioned the word versatile there. Abdul Nader is a guy who is intriguing just because he's 6'6", but he has that size to him, and it sounds like he can shoot. Where do you see him fitting in right now? I know it's really early, but based off of what you've seen over the last year or so.
He's been one of our better players, you know, early on in the process here. You know, again, he's such a unique guy because he can make shots from the perimeter, especially, you know, when you run him into a ball screen and he's playing the four spot. You know, so we'll see. He's a guy that can also post you up and hit tough fadeaway shots. He's just, you know, again, you don't have a lot of guys that can create for themselves. Abdul is definitely one of those guys.
What's your plan with Clayton Custer early on? I know you guys want him to be potentially a backup point guard type, but how do you mold him into that early in the non-conference?
Well, playing against Monte Morris is, you know, going to be the best thing that will teach him you know, how to play at this level. And, you know, every day Monte's out pressuring him all over the floor, and he gets better every practice. You know, he's a guy that makes the right play. You know, I think, again, I've talked about this before, that he's cut from the same cloth as Monte, where he's just going to go out and make the plays that'll help teams win and help get the best shot possible, whether it's for himself or for a teammate. And I've been very pleased with him early on.
How's Big George?
Big George, I'd say this exact same thing. He gets better every practice. He had a couple days ago, he hit three threes in a row, and he started talking smack. So he's unfortunately.
What does that sound like?
Yeah.
In Greek? Or?
No, in American. Yeah. Unfortunately, he's learning some bad habits from our guys.
He's picked up the certain vocabulary
quickly.
Yes,
absolutely. it doesn't sound quite the same. But.
Over the summer, Matt Thomas was talking about just how different he felt being in the second year in the program. Lights weren't as bright. Have you noticed a difference in him in practice early on?
Yeah, Matt was our leading scorer in our inter-squad scrimmage yesterday. He was hitting everything. Floaters, hit a left-handed kind of flip shot. He had about 18 points in the first 10 minutes of our scrimmage, and just was hitting everything. The fun thing about it is guys were finding him in the team he was playing on. So he's playing with great rhythm, and hopefully he keeps it up.
With George, do you remember the night? I mean, when he broke his foot, a conversation you had with him after that to help him through that?
You know what? It was obviously devastating. I mean, I'll never forget when I was just about to go on and do an interview with Craig Sager, and so excited about knocking off a very, very good North Carolina Central team, and noticed him limping a little bit out there, but we put him back in. We didn't think it was a serious injury. And right before I go on with Craig Sager, Vic Miller comes up and says it's broken. And, it was hard to do that interview. And then still remember walking in the locker room, just seeing the dejected looks on the guys' faces because, your guy playing with the best rhythm isn't going to be with us for the rest of the year. we did talk. And I did talk to him about, you got to take care of yourself with all the inactivity that you've got coming up for the next 6 weeks. The rest is him. I mean, he took care of himself and got himself in the gym, did yoga. And the biggest, he cleaned up his diet. He quit eating all the crap that, contributed to, I don't want to say the way he looked, but the way he looked. So,
did you know he was going to post that topless photo of himself on Twitter that day?
I did not know he was going to send the topless photo. No. Was it him that sent it?
Yeah, he tweeted it out, I believe.
Yeah. He did, huh? Yeah. Well, I, like I've said, I mean, he's pretty, and he should be. He should be proud of himself for what he did to change his body the way he did. So, he's proud. I immediately sent it back to him and said, I'm proud of you, man. I'm really proud of you. I'm looking forward to a great year.
Chris asked you about Matt. How does he have to approach this year? Because just from a numbers game, he's probably not going to start the games he started last year. He's probably not going to maybe even play the minutes he played last year.
Hard to say. I mean, he very well could be a guy that starts in the team because of his ability to shoot it. And it doesn't matter to me who starts. It's who's in there at the end and who's going to finish. Matt will finish a lot of games for us if he continues to play the way he's playing right now. His feet are better. He understands the defensive concepts a lot more. And he's just, like I said, he's absolutely stroking the ball right now. He's really been committed, in the gym as much as anybody, with getting in there and getting extra work. I've been proud of everything that he's done this preseason.
Who wins a three-point contest on your favorite event on Saturday night?
Oh, man. Who's in it?
I
have
no clue.
You don't know?
I'll be in Austin.
Who?
You're not making a cameo?
Whew. I'm going to go with Naz. I'm going to give Naz my vote.
Are you going to shoot?
No, God, no.
Who wins the dunk?
I'd get hurt.
Who wins it? Does Dustin win the dunk?
I
assume he's in.
I may hold Dustin out of the dunk contest. We'll see. I think Jameel's going to be a hard one to beat.
Dustin won the summer dunk.
He did.
But
yeah.
Jameel didn't play. Didn't do that one.
He didn't? Oh. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna let's go with Jameel.
You hold Dustin out? Is he hurt?
No, he's just old.
That's a media session with Iowa State head coach Fred Hoiberg from the Big 12 Media Day in Dallas. Iowa State picked fifth in the league. And, that's a little low, I think some people thought. I think George Niang may have thought it was a little bit low without saying it. I sat down with George Niang, talked about that, his new body, all kinds of good stuff. Here's my interview with George Niang from Kansas City. All right, George. Well, I want to start with you about the probably the most legendary tweet, I think, in Iowa State history, the cup of coffee after the Iowa game. What do you? How much feedback did you get from that one?
Probably a little bit too much. You know, I had to shut down my Twitter for a couple of days. The Hawkeyes were really after me after that one.
You seem like a guy, though. This is what I appreciate about you. You actually embrace that. You embrace communicating with the fans. You sent out the teasers about the Hilton Madness thing. Is that fun for you?
Yeah, you know, I think it's great. You know, we have so much pressure put on us to do the right thing and be sometimes be people that we aren't, but you know, I just feel like if you can embrace that and have fun with it, you know, it goes a long way, and you know, I feel like people appreciate that.
Our Rob Gray wrote a story about you, and there were some quotes in there from I think your high school coach and your mom. Yeah. about and I know you talked about how you were at a camp or something like that. Yeah. And somebody kind of shrugged you off, and you talked about how that just changed your, not necessarily changed your character, but helped mold you into the guy that you are today. How important is that for you, though? Because I see you doing it a lot. If a little kid comes up, wants an autograph, that type of deal. How important is it for you to be a role model in that sense?
No, I feel like it's extremely important. I mean, you can change the outlook of how someone looks at you or how someone looks at their life. You know, if someone comes up to me and I were to just brush them off, you know, I would think about myself and how I would feel being in their shoes. And I just think that's not right of athletes to do that. I mean, you work so hard to be put on this stage, so why don't you embrace it and, you know, take it as far as you can go.
How are you different now than when you stepped on campus at Iowa State for the first time?
Probably just the numbers on the scale. No, I'm just kidding. Coming in, you know, Coach Hoiberg's a great role model for me, and you know, just basing myself on how he acts and how he treats people around him, I think I've changed as a person, and not only a basketball player, become a lot smarter on the court, but you know, maturing off the court, you know, and just being an overall better person.
You're going to get asked about the shirtless photo a lot today, I'm sure, and rightfully so. But in all seriousness, though, I mean, that was not only a deal for your career, but that was a lifestyle change, I assume. I mean, can you maybe, if somebody else is out there listening and they're, you know, trying to drop a few pounds or anything like that, I mean, what was the key? I mean, what is it, just discipline when it came to your diet? Were you working out more?
Yeah, no, I think it's just discipline coming to your diet. I mean, it's a mental focus. I mean, everybody has those days where you're like, oh, that cookie looks so good, but you really have to tell yourself that, you know what, I don't need it, and in the long run it's going to help. So, you know, that's really what I did. You know, I mean, if you work out consistently and eat the right things, you're going to see changes. I mean, it's not like you really have to drastically tweak your diet. Well, I had to, because I went from eating horrible to, you know, trying to eat really good. So I don't think it's real drastic changes, but even like going from juice to drinking water all the time, you know, I think it's just little changes in your diet here and there, and you'll be all right.
Let's talk basketball now. Yeah. You guys were recently picked 5th by the Big 12's coaches. What did you think when you saw that? Is that motivation for you guys?
No, I think that's funny that you asked, because I did like a Facebook thing and a bunch of people asked that. But no, I don't think. I mean, preseason rankings are preseason rankings. I mean, at the end, we finished 1st at the Big 12 tournament. So, you know, I think we're really just focused on getting better each day and learning from each other. And, you know, yeah, it motivates us. I mean, we're going to use it as motivation. But, you know, I don't think it really bothers us too much.
The best part about covering your team last year is the chemistry that you guys play with. You can tell that you all loved each other like brothers. And it sounds, I was talking to Naz at Media Day, and it sounds like this year's team is really molded itself after that. Do you agree with that, or where are you guys at chemistry wise right now?
No, I think we're ahead of we were last year, and you know, I think we're working on our chemistry every day, and I think we're getting better at it each day. And I mean, that's the most you can ask from a team, and I think we get along a lot closer than a lot of groups that I've been a part with. And you know, last year was something special, and to work towards getting as close as we were last year, it's obviously going to take some time, but I think we're obviously going to get there and probably surpass that.
Was that you had so many second half comebacks last year where you guys are down like double digits, 10 minutes left in the game. Is that chemistry key in those comebacks? I mean, if you don't like each other, it's tough to stick together in those times.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. And I mean, coach is always preaching fighting through adversity and sticking together, and you know, we all got along, and I think what brings us together at Iowa State is we all have the common goal of winning. So when you want to win just as bad as the person next to you, obviously you're going to do whatever it takes, whether that's Dustin Hoge diving on the ground for a ball, or you know, Melvin Ejim getting a transition dunk. You know, I just feel like we just all have the common goal of winning, and that's really what propelled us to win last year.
I want to talk to you, pick your brain about your new teammate, the other George that has an S in his name.
Yeah.
Have you taken him under your wing in the sense, because it had to be an interesting scenario for him. He moves across the world, shows up at Iowa State. What's your interpretations of him been so far, and what do you see for him in the future?
You know, I think he's super talented and super funny at the same time. You know, he has a Greek accent, and, you know, he has a little excitement to him. You know, he's a real laid-back type of guy, but, you know, when he gets going, he can be pretty funny. And I think in basketball terms, you know, he's in the gym constantly. I'll come in late at night and just to get some shots of him, and he's just there by himself working on his game. So, you know, he's a young 18-year-old seven-footer who has a work ethic. I mean, so that speaks in itself. He's going to be pretty talented when it's all said and done, you know. I think it's just going to take time. I mean, if anybody were to come over from another country and have to learn to speak a new language and all that, I think it takes some time. But I think he's going to be real great for us.
Another guy I wanted to ask you about is Dustin, who's here with you today. It seems like, you know, in preseason rankings and pretty much anything that you read, I guess my subjective opinion is I don't feel like he gets enough credit. Do you agree with that?
Sure. No, and I feel his pain, man. But, you know, I think he's working hard every day. And, I mean, ever since that New York game, I feel like he hasn't slowed down one bit. I mean, he's really big time for us, and he's been playing awesome lately. So I think we can expect a real big year out of Dustin, not only rebounding, but scoring the basketball.
Bryce DeJean Jones, I don't think a lot of people know about his game. Coach Abdelmassey's raved about him for a while now. What's your impression of him been so far?
No, he's a super talent, that's for sure. He can really score the ball, and he's really unselfish. And, you know, he's been a great off the court leader for us. You know, taking younger guys under his wing. So I think he's going to be real awesome for us. You know, he gives a dynamic that we haven't really had, which is a bigger two guard. I know DeAndre was a big one last year, but a bigger two guard who can probably guard a three and, you know, let us play big sometimes. And he can really stroke it, so that really works out when you play for a guy like Coach Hoiberg.
You mentioned the you kind of brought up versatility right there without saying it. I think of Abdul. I haven't seen him play as much as you have, but he's 6'6". He can shoot the three, and he's just a big body out there. How versatile has he been?
That's what I meant, even going big with those two. I mean, they're just bigger, you know what I mean? They're just bigger guys. Like, I feel like we've been considered athletic. Yeah, Melvin could run and jump, but, you know, these guys are like big human beings. So, you know, I feel like they're just, it just offers a different dynamic for us to play this year, and, you know, something that we haven't had. And I think I'm excited to see what we're going to do, because Coach Hoiberg is a mastermind with putting pieces together like that.
Last question for you. You guys have what I think is a fun non-conference schedule this year. You get to go out to Brooklyn. More importantly, you get to come back to this arena where you had an awesome time last year in November. How much are you looking forward to just getting the season started? Because, like I say, with Georgia State in game number two, that's an intriguing basketball game. How pumped are you for the season?
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited. I mean, whenever you can start the year off playing a great team like Georgia State, who has some guys with R.J. Hunter and Kevin Ware, you know, that's awesome, because, you know, that really puts you to the test early and see what you guys can do from the beginning. So, you know, I'm really excited for that game. I think it offers a pretty good test for us, but I'm excited for the rest of the non-conference schedule. I mean, coming here and playing Alabama the first game, or Arizona State if we win that, or Maryland, I think those are all great teams. And, you know, that's just an excitement that, you know, is a gift that we get to play this game and against great teams every day.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Best of luck.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's Iowa State forward George Niang. Just an incredible, not only an incredible basketball player, but truly one of the most interesting, and I'd say even one of the nicest kids I think I've ever covered in my time covering Iowa State athletics. I remember when George Niang was at the Tilton School, and he was a student body president. I remember this was after he committed to Iowa State. I remember calling him, you know, doing a recruiting call, and he would, you know, he's like, hey, you know, I'm at a student council meeting. I'll call you back. That type of stuff. You just don't get that very often in this business. So I think not only are Iowa State fans lucky to be able to watch George Niang on the floor, I think they're lucky that he's an ambassador for the university. He's truly one of the all-time greats in that sense. I think he'll be one of the all-time greats when his career is done at Iowa State as well on the hardwood. Talking about great, I think that Dustin Hoge has the potential to be that this year. He's as Fred Hoiberg mentioned earlier in this podcast, the Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast, that Hoge is a little bit, I think, you can compare him to Melvin Edgem in the sense that you don't think skill, ball skill, you don't think that when Dustin Hoge comes to your mind, but his relentless energy is what makes him so great. And his skills have actually really, really improved, much like we saw throughout the years of Melvin Edgem's career. I don't think Hoge gets enough credit. I've been very open about that. I think that we as the media forget about him. It's an interesting thing when it comes to covering Iowa State athletics, especially the basketball program, specifically the basketball program. There's all these newcomers every year. It's kind of sexy to cover the new guys, but sometimes you forget about the old guard. And I think that's Dustin Hoge to a T. So I sat down with him earlier today in Kansas City. Here's what he had to say. I thought it stood out to me, one of the things that Fred Hoiberg said at his media day was that maybe of all the guys on the entire roster, you had the best off season. What'd you do? What would spur a coach to say that?
I think more so it was coming into office every day ready to work. You know, I'm always a guy that gives 110% and whatnot. So I think that, you know, coming into weight room, you know, coming into off the court conditioning, whatever the case may be, I was always a guy that was ready to go and I'll try to be the person that motivates the rest of my teammates to have as much energy as I do.
You had that breakout game. Well, it wasn't really a breakout game to people who follow Iowa State, but nationally, the game in Madison Square Garden in your hometown. I know you lost the game, and you're a team guy, and that probably stung. But in the same token, how much did that fuel you in the non-conference to have that style of game on that level? Did that impact you in the non-conference or in the off season? Did that help too?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've always seen myself as the defensive guy, or a guy that, you know, is going to play with extra energy or try to be the guy that's going to dive on the floor. And, you know, scoring comes second nature. You know, if you just play hard, I believe that you're going to score the ball. And, you know, don't try to give too much thought into it. But, you know, to actually play in a Madison Square Garden and, you know, play against a good UConn team, you know, national champion team, and have my friends and family there, to actually be able to score that many points or, you know, had that type of offensive game, you know, it's kind of motivating me. And I think that because I had that game, I think during the offseason I was more so trying to well-round my game to, you know, try to score the ball a little more or be more an offensive threat, because the more I score the ball offensively, the, you know, the more dangerous our team would be.
Well, I remember when you signed with Iowa State, and those were the quotes: he's a great defender, he's going to be an elite defender. I didn't ever hear anything about your offensive game. Now coach here today at Media Day is raving about how far you've come offensively. What's been the key to that?
You know, just working with Coach Hoiberg, you know, he's been telling me a lot about shooting. You know, shooting was never one of my strong points. But, you know, as far as I got here, you know, he's been helping me a lot, you know, helping me keep my jump shot up or, you know, keeping my hand raised, you know, just little things here and there, like tips or whatnot. So I think, you know, him helping me with my shooting is, you know, helped me expand my game, because now I don't have to specifically attack the rim to, you know, score and whatnot. And he's helping me attack the rim a little better so I could finish. So I think that he just helped me well round my game. You know, I had to give it all to him.
Like, before we started this interview, I told you I'm a Dustin Hoge guy. I don't feel like you get enough pub. You led the team in rebounding last year. You really came on strong. Do you feel like you get snubbed a little bit?
Just a little bit. You know, it's kind of hard shining when you got, you know, the Big 12 Player of the Year and, you know, DeAndre Cannon, George Niang on your team. But, you know, I'm cool with being the fourth guy, you know, being under the radar, you know, letting them get the glory, because as long as we're winning the game, it doesn't really matter to me.
But you kind of seem like a guy who thrives off of that in a way.
Yeah, you know, being able to be under the radar and free roam, you know, really helps my game a lot. But, you know, I got to give it to my teammates too. You know, without them, I wouldn't have this position that I'm in right now.
I'm also a big Dennis Rodman fan. I like guys who rebound. I read his book once about, and he gives his theory on rebounding, about it being all effort. What would, if I asked you what the key to your rebounding success at your size, what would that be?
Honestly, I think it's the same thing. You know, people ask me all the time, and I think it's just an effort thing. You know, it's kind of hard, you know, being skilled at rebounding, because you don't really know where the ball is ever going to end up. But I think that, you know, the harder guy that's working for is definitely going to get the ball. And I come out every game with 110% trying to get the rebounds and whatnot for my team. So I think it's more so of an effort thing. If you really want it, then you'll get it.
Offensively, do you get a sense, like, when Matt Thomas shoots a ball where it might end up, or when Naz does? Do you get a sense of that with your own teammates?
Yeah, you know, that just comes from chemistry and whatnot. You know, everybody has a little pattern here and there. You can kind of tell from their release where it's going, you know, maybe a little high, a little low. And, you know, that just comes from experience and, you know, working with my teammates every day and watching them shoot or being on the same team with them. You know, the ball kind of bounces a certain way every time, because some people shoot flat, some people shoot a little high. So it's really about knowing your teammates. And I think with that, you know, advantage I have, I know where the ball is going before the defense even knows.
I know that your former JUCO teammate, now current teammate, Jamil McKay, he strolls into the Cap City League this summer and immediately started talking smack that he was going to out-rebound you this year. Is that going to happen?
No, not a chance. You know, we talk about it every day about how much of a good rebounder he was, and he was such a great rebounder in junior college, and I give him that, but it's a different ball game now.
is this the stories I've heard of you guys in practice and stuff, is this real, or is this being fabricated? Are you really going at it as hard as people are telling me?
Oh yeah, every day. You know 24 hours is a long time, and people don't understand that. So, you know, when practice we count how many rebounds a person gets, so sometimes he wins and sometimes I win, and when he wins he talks crap for the whole literally the whole 24 hours, and I can't stand it. You know, clock goes so slow. So, and so it's really about who's getting the rebounds and who wants it more. And I think he's, you know, with him wanting the rebound as much as I do, I think he's up in my game even more.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that the key to success, though? I mean, if nobody was pushing you, I think it would be hard to push yourself.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of hard to motivate yourself. But when you have another guy that wants the ball as much as you do, is going to do anything to get it, you know, you're going to find ways to get around that. And you're going to find ways to become a better player overall.
How big of a boost will that be? Because you guys are going to play the majority of the non-conference portion of your schedule without Jamil. I mean, is that going to be like a big free agent signing for you guys when he's able to play? I mean, how much will that impact your team?
Jamil's a guy that, you know, he's very unique big, and I think there's not too many people like him in the country. You know, his ability to move around without the ball and his ability to finish is going to be tough to match up with any team across the country. So I think that as soon as he comes back in, you know, our team's going to be complete, and we're going to have a whole roster where it's going to be tough for people to match up with us, because we're going to have size and length.
Who's going to win the dunk contest on Saturday? Coach said he might hold you out because you're old.
Oh, that's crazy.
He did say that. I'm not making that up.
I was going to win. He doesn't want me to do it because I won the one over the summer, the dunk contest. Yeah. But, you know, other people are complaining that I'm not giving them a fair chance. So I think I might sit this one out. But I'm not sure yet. I might have a late come in, you know, a special surprise for the crowd.
Well, if not, you get in that three-point contest, show off your new shot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I'll be competing with the Naz Longs and the Matt Thomases of the team.
Is there any like jumping over like managers or anything like that on Saturday?
Oh, man, you might just reveal some of my tricks or something like that, you know. But, yeah, there's going to be a lot of spectacular dunks going on that day, I'm sure.
Dustin, I appreciate your time, man. Congratulations on your success so far, and good luck this season, all right?
Thank you.
That's Iowa State senior Dustin Hoag, who's clearly pumped up for the 2014-15 season to begin, much like all of you. Your excitement for Iowa State basketball, I think, is at an all-time high, and we're excited to cover it for you. We're trying to change the game. We're doing our best. We're doing our best to cover the Iowa State Athletics Department, unlike anybody else out there. We want to do things different. That's why when we are at the Big 12 Media Days, that's why I'm doing a podcast today, because I don't think anybody else is doing it. That's the game plan. And we want to bring you innovative coverage of the Cyclones. We want to bring you fresh coverage of the Cyclones. We want to do it differently. Not that other people are wrong. I love traditional media. I love Randy Peterson from the Des Moines Register. Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune has become like a brother to me. We're not dogging them at all, but I want to do something different for you at CycloneFanatic.com. The podcast is taking off. You people, you subscribe to it on iTunes, you download it, you listen to it. We're now able to sell it to the good people at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center because y'all are listening. And for that, I could not thank you more. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast from the Big 12 Media Days in Kansas City. I look forward to doing this more often. I think this is cool. I think you really, I'm hoping that you all enjoyed it today. And Hilton Madness coming up on Saturday. Rob Gray, Jared Stansberry will both be there for CycloneFanatic.com. They'll bring you full coverage. I'm going to have Jared with the camera rolling of that dunk contest. I know y'all are going to want to watch that. In addition to that, big note for our radio show coming up tomorrow night from Benchwarmers. Brent Bloom, Jeff Woody will be there with me. We'll preview Iowa State, Texas. Bloom, of course, getting ready to make his big play-by-play debut for Cyclones.tv. We'll talk about that. That'll be fun. 6 to 7 on 1460 KXNL. Stop by Benchwarmers in Ankeny if you want to hang out with us. We appreciate you listening today. Thank you so much. Thanks to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. And we'll be back with a podcast of the radio show coming up on Thursday evening. Thanks, everybody. Take care.